Hello, Mr. Hilde. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview, and we are honored to have you for our first Senior Storytelling Podcast episode. I'm thrilled to interview you, and I know you have so much wisdom and experience to share with the world. And so to start off, I just want to make sure that our audience has the chance to get to know you a little better. So can you tell us a bit about yourself, like your hometown, the work you do, etc.?
Yeah, my name is Bill Hildenbrand. I grew up in NA, went to the local Catholic school, and then went to NA. Afterwards, I went to Penn State, played soccer at Penn State Barron, dropped out, worked, went back to school, worked, did a bunch of things until finally I decided, okay, after coaching for a number of years, that coaching and teaching were a lot alike. So maybe I would be better paid and have a more stable life if I got into the teaching thing. And so went back again, got another degree in education, started subbing. I taught for a year at North Catholic High School. I taught at North Allegheny as a permanent sub on three different occasions. So for 3.5 years, I subbed permanently, and then I was a half-time teacher. And for the last 24 years, I've been at NAI teaching world cultures, world affairs, and now AP and economics.
Awesome, yeah. It sounds like you really had an eventful life. All of your students can attest to the fact that you're a wonderful teacher.
I don't know that all can, but okay, I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
Okay, and so this is a fun question. What was the biggest milestone in your life to date?
Probably me getting married.
Oh.
But yeah, in fact, the wife just walked in the door, so that was just fortuitous timing on that one. But yeah, that's probably the biggest milestone. And then after that, getting, you know, my job at NA, because that kind of redefined who I was. Before that, I was, you know, the soccer coach and whatever, and I kind of defined myself as that. And now I define myself a lot less about soccer and much more about, you know, being just a teacher of whatever, whatever I teach.
Yeah, and so that was actually an awesome segue, because the next thing I wanted to ask you was, what is something you learned throughout your career?
Well, first of all, perseverance is, you know, there's what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. I've had Crohn's disease for the last 40 years. And there's been times when I really didn't think that anything was ever going to work out. But, you know, it has. I've got a beautiful wife, a nice house. Hey, I got an old Porsche. you know, what else could there be? I've got a lot of kids that really, I've been lucky enough to interact, like with yourself, that I've been lucky enough to meet and maybe have some influence on in some way. I think that's, for a teacher, that's our biggest hope, is that we know we can't get everybody, and we don't want us to think, we don't want people to think like we do, but we want them to think. And that's, you know, when I see people like yourself taking on things that you were talking about earlier about, you know, doing research on your own, that's, for me, like the thing that makes me want to teach. When I was coaching soccer, it was, you know, when kids would do the things on the field without thinking about it, that I knew that they got from me and I got from somebody else. So lifelong has been that life is a whole lot of different things, and you don't know what messages and what things you learn are going to be really valuable in the future, because you don't know. And then suddenly things start to come together in little pictures that, you know, kind of unite themselves of where you want to go and what you want to do.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Now that we've gotten to know you a little better, a topic that I really wanted to talk about with you is about how our world is so ever-changing.
Oh, goodness. Yeah?
Yeah, and so I was wondering if you could share if there's something about today's youth that really surprises you or is fundamentally different from when you were our age.
I think the biggest thing that is a difference from me, you know, from my era, I mean, I grew up in the 1960s, and you know, we were the, hey, the kids older than me, not myself, but the kids older than me were the ones that did sit-ins in college and, you know, went to Woodstock. And I mean, I wasn't the Woodstock kid. I was the, you know, the little kid who sang in the high school choir and played soccer. But I think the biggest difference between me and you is that we had one truth. Now there's multiple truths out there with the internet as to what you see as reality. And it's really, really hard for adults, much less people who are less experienced in the world. Like I said, I mean, all the little pictures come together for certain people, that because of the influence of social media and the media in general, that you can get a very different view of what the world is. You know, like the other night with the kid in Kenosha, who decided that he had to help the police do what they were doing and end up shooting three people. I mean, that's not a normal thing that kids go through. You guys have been much more resilient, I think, than we have with, or would have been with things like Corona. Oh my God. I mean, as a high school kid, we would have just, we literally would have just quit school. But you guys kept going. It's amazing how resilient you are, and yet how bombarded you are with so many different things.
Yeah, thank you for that answer, really. And so definitely technology and social media have really shaped our generation and our lives. And this kind of ties into the next question, which was, what is something that is available today that you would have liked to have had in your childhood?
Better cars? cell phones. Although my wife yelled cell phones. I don't know. I'm not a huge advocate of cell phones. I think they have their place in the world, but I think they become more of a crutch than anything else, that you can connect to the world with that little box that you're carrying in, you know, in your back pocket, which was something that we could never have done. But it also, again, can lead you into these little worlds that is, on one hand, really great. Imagination, when people lose imagination, I think that they're dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, on whatever ideas they're coming up with, new ideas. And that's something that I don't know that we had as much. We had new music and new ways of expressing ourselves, but we didn't have that interconnection as rapidly as you guys do. So on one hand, I would like that. And on the other hand, I think it's really scary and, I don't know, dangerous, I guess. If it's scary, it's got to be dangerous. Thing that if used incorrectly, can be really, really harmful.
Yeah, for sure. And so also, this is kind of like the opposite of the question I just asked you, but is there something that was common in your youth that is now obsolete?
Yeah, area codes. You know what that is. Did you ever notice, like, do you know what that is? An area code?
Wait, is that like 412?
Yeah. You know what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, and all those little numbers like 935, those were specific geographic regions. Here's me teaching geography again. But yeah, those things don't mean much anymore. You know, just because it's 412 means that you live in Pittsburgh, but you don't necessarily have to be in Pittsburgh to be making this call. Mm. Versus like when I was in you know, high school, even college, you know, my dad was real sick and my mom didn't want me to know. I was living in Erie, so she didn't call me. That would not happen today. You know, she didn't want me to worry. So I didn't really know that my dad was going in for surgery the next day until I accidentally called home the night before. And my mom's like, she just didn't sound right. And I'm like, what's going on? And she's like, so those kinds of things of instantaneous gratification and instantaneous connections are great. But again, the identification of where you are is completely obsolete now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because of globalization and everything.
Oh, I thought of another thing that I would have liked to have had. This, Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're talking on a phone with somebody and it's kind of, you know, they can be doing 1,000 other things, but when they're here, like teaching in the spring, the one thing I missed, even though we did talk periodically, was just seeing you guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I really miss seeing you guys. That's why I decided to go back as an old to whatever, you know, to be in the classroom because I miss you guys.
Mm. Sorry. Yeah, we miss you too.
Self-indulgent, but hey, we all are, so.
And so it seems like the world really has changed a lot, but also from a smaller scale, as we grow older, our own values and visions shape as well. And so who was your biggest role model when you were young, and how did your perceptions of that person change?
I had four big mentors, and we talked about this like when we do the religion thing of sages, you know, in Buddhism. Looking back, I mean, there are teachers along the way who had impacts on me, who I remember, you know. I remember my third grade teacher, Miss Kozlowski, because she was really cute, you know, when I was a third grader, and, you know. But there were like four people. My dad, who, as I got older, changed. You know, there's an old adage that it's amazing. As you get older, it's amazing how much your parents learn. You know, could you now, like, realize that your parents actually did know something when they were telling you things. And then my high school soccer coach, who I coached with for 30 years at NA, Herr Schwartz, my college soccer coach, who, you know, was a really big impact on me just as a human. And then my, if you guys ever want to know why I'm so tough in HUG, it's a tribute to my economics professor in college, who always said, I'd do what you guys did in HUG. You know, many of you killed yourselves trying to do stuff for me. Project, you know, I mean, I'm so happy. But every time I'd do something for him, which I thought was awesome, he would say, yeah, it's awesome, but you can do more. And I would go, damn it, you're right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you can always give a little more. And for some of the kids in my class, that's all they could give. So yeah, that's why I do what I do, because I think that he's right, that all of us can do great things, and we can do even just a little more if we actually push ourselves. So there's my mentors, and I'm parts of all of that.
Yeah, for sure, because mentors really shape the way that we look at the world and also how we interact with it.
Right, yep.
Yeah, and is there any advice that you received, either from those mentors or from someone else, that you wish you would have listened to or taken more seriously?
Yeah, I mean, constantly. I wish I'd listened to my mom, my dad, my college girlfriend, who told me, you know, stop hanging around and go study. you know, people that my family, yeah, you can always look back at things that there's, you know, life's like a giant road and there's always turnoffs and you don't really know what's done any of the road, so you just take the road, like what is it, Walt Whitman, the road not the path not traveled, and that's I took the path not traveled, and that's made all the difference. Two roads diverged in a wood. Anyway, if you knew what was going to happen in the future, you would probably listen to people in the present.
Yeah.
That's what makes the future what it is. It's now that you've made these decisions, what do you do with it?
And each choice shapes your future directly in one way or another.
Right. I teach economics, and the one lesson of economics is that, by definition, economics is, you know, the use of scarce resources unlimited once. Well, in reality, it's just making choices. You make this choice, you can't make that choice or any other choice. Like right now I'm talking to you, which is awesome, but I can't do anything else. And you can't do anything else except listen to this old guy. You could be doing something else. And hopefully this isn't a waste of your time.
No, it's not. I love talking with you.
I love talking to you. So that's for us, this is a good choice. But if you knew, let's say two days from now, that you could have been doing something during this time period, you know, maybe you'd regret it and go, I probably should have like gone my friends or whatever, but you don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
Life's this huge journey and you just got to kind of roll with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's my old age advice.
And here are a few questions that I really like. And so, if you could relive one year or decade of your life, when would it be?
I don't know. I've tried to relive all of mine. When I first went to college, we were the first generation to largely go to college. And me going to college had no real goal to it. It was, I only went to go play soccer, and then I only went to be with my girlfriend and play soccer. And then I quit because I realized this wasn't going anywhere. And going back to college like 6 years later actually was me trying to relive what I'd done wrong in the first place. So, you know, I actually went to the classes that I was supposed to go to and studied for the tests that I was supposed to study for. And I grew up. And so which decade would, I don't know, I think now. Maybe, I was just thinking this the other day, actually. Maybe about 5 years ago when my knees didn't hurt as bad. But other than that, I love where I am right now. We're in a good place. Except for the coronavirus.
Yeah, for sure. But it's awesome that you love where you are right now. Yeah.
I think if you always look back and say this could be or what could have been, you're just trying to live in the past, and that's not, and we all do that. I mean, I know I think about things that I could have, would have, and should have done in the past that would have completely changed my life, but I didn't. And what's the sense of staying there? You know, you can think of it as that was a good choice or a bad choice, but if you dwell on that of, oh my God, you know, I should have done this or I should have done that and stay there, you're just wasting what you have around you.
Yeah, I feel like there's a fine line between learning from your past and being trapped in it.
Right, exactly. See, that's a lesson. That's a huge life lesson at 16 that you know that I don't think I would have known. You know, me at 16 was just a clueless moron. I was, God, was I clueless. You have no idea of, you know, I mean, like the people that you look around to. I mean, because we all look at people as, you know, like myself as being older. So you're looking at me now, but oh my God. People who know me look at me and go, how in God's name do they let you teach anybody? Because we're all that thing that grows up over time. So, yeah.
And so speaking of when you were young, what was a favorite thing or hobby that you really enjoyed?
I started playing soccer around, well, soccer became kind of a big thing when I was about 10 or 12, but nobody really played it. In Pittsburgh, soccer has always been a really big game because of the immigrant neighborhoods, but I didn't live in an immigrant neighborhood. I lived in NA. And so, you know, we didn't have a soccer team. I was on the first, well, the second year NA soccer team ever. And I love cars. So, you know, learning to work on cars was fun, although I knew I didn't want to work on cars for a living, but it was fun to do. Hang out with my friends, you know, we would, like you guys, you know, drive around at night, trying to find other people driving around at night, you know, to say hi, maybe meet some girls. We didn't know what we'd do with them if we found them, but yeah, that kind of stuff. It was less, I don't know. I don't think you guys are more or less than we were. I don't think we were more innocent or more, or you guys are more mature than we are. You're 15 years old. You just, there's more stuff that's available to you, I think. I mean, if you look back like to my parents' generation that grew up in a depression, they didn't really move out of their neighborhoods. So the things that were apparent to them weren't really what was going on in the entire world. You guys are so connected to the world, that makes it so much different. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And if you could speak to your younger self, what advice would you give? The classic question.
It is. Yeah, don't be an idiot. is probably the biggest one. But what would I, yeah. I probably, if I could talk to my younger self, I would probably tell him that, and I don't want to sound self-absorbing, but that I am as smart as I think I am. And that I shouldn't just take all that for granted. Because I used to. You know, in high school, I didn't try at all. Like, you know, and I was surrounded by some kids like yourselves. I mean, you were one of the top kids in the school. You know that, right?
Thank you.
You know that, right? You are. I mean, and not just because you took HUG, and being one of the top kids in HUG makes you even more of an elite person. That kind of knowledge about yourself is really valuable unless you start to take yourself too seriously, that you think you're smarter than you actually are. So when I said I'm as smart as I think I am, I didn't mean that I'm super smart. It's just that I'm smart enough to do all the things that I think I should try that I'm too afraid to try. Mm-hmm. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Often your fear of what you think will happen will keep you from doing things that you really should. Mm-hmm. Like, if for that one, just as a little side, the one thing I've been horribly afraid of all my life is heights. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I went on vacation and we did a treetop zipline thing, which I thought I would be horribly frightened of. It was the most exhilarating thing I'd ever done. It is by far the coolest. It's like being a friggin' bird.
That's awesome. And
I never thought I could do something like that. And so knowing that you can do things allows you to do things.
Yeah, so don't limit yourself by doubting yourself.
Or don't think that you're not smart enough or good enough or whatever. So yeah, that would be the thing and I would tell myself that I am going to grow. when I was in high school, I was 5'6", 125 pounds. So I'm a little taller and a little heavier now. Anyway.
Yeah. And so as a follow-up to what you would tell your younger self, is there any general advice you have for today's you?
I think the same advice. Just know that you can do pretty much anything if you try. You just have to figure out how, you know, like yourself. You've undertaken two huge things on your own. Without, you know, this project and the genetics project you're talking about, nobody asked you to do that. You know, and a lot of people would have said, why are you wasting your time? And why would you just be a kid? Well, why? This is what you want to do. Don't be afraid of doing it.
Yeah, because like, this is so much fun for me, like learning and like creating new things. And so, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, you know, you're doing it and you're making it largely for you, which is fine. Mm. So, am I boring you yet? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
Okay.
And so, this is kind of on the flip side of what you would share, what advice for youth, but do you have a message to share with other seniors?
The wife actually was kind of fun today. I told her I was going to do this with you, and she goes, oh good, we're finally seniors. Because no matter what age, you don't, like, what do you think 67 is like?
I have no idea. Yeah.
I don't know what to say. And I look at myself and I'm doing stupid things like building a room this summer and, you know, and hanging off of a building and, you know, with a saw and thinking, no 67-year-old in the world does this. And then I'm thinking, why not? So what advice do I have to other elder people? I don't think any of us really take the whole, like, oh my God, I'm whatever age. My wife's mother is 88 years old and literally last year bought a new house and repainted it herself.
Oh wow, that's so cool.
And is like putting down carpeting and flooring because she doesn't know that she's 88 years old. And everybody keeps telling her, look, Mom, you're 88 years old, chill out. She knows more about technology than I will ever know. Mm. So yeah, I think for anybody, it's just, when you decide that you are old and give up, then it's over. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's an awesome message.
Mm. Okay, well, thanks.
Well, obviously I'm not a senior, but I think that's really cool.
Well, and think of yourself. All the questions you just asked me, how would you answer them?
For
any, like, of them. Pick one.
Oh, awesome. I think if I could speak to my younger self, I would just say I should try to create more things and never limit myself in my mind. Because if you look at the world the way it is, and then you're just like, that's the way it is.
Right.
There's no room to grow. Everyone, no matter what age or no matter what background you have, can create change to some scale.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, you know, the whole liberal conservative thing is built on that. I mean, if you're afraid of going forward because you're afraid of what the future brings, you're never ever going to change anything. So, all right, you don't have to go like jump off the cliff to figure out that that was a stupid idea, you know, but you should at least consider jumping off the cliff to figure out if it's a good idea. Otherwise, you're just going to stand in the forest going, I wonder where we are. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so what are the best and worst parts of getting older?
The worst part, like any age, I think the worst part is the fear of not knowing what is going to be the future. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't really retire this year, mostly because I don't know what the future was going to be. And then I look back and go, maybe with Corona, I should have retired. Because now I have to do all this other stuff in order to do what I actually like to do, which is teach. And I don't like to teach this way. I don't mind talking to you because I think you're basically sitting on my couch. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't like having to teach remotely because there's no inner relationship at all. The best part of getting old, I don't know. I don't know that getting old is not bad. I guess the best part of getting old is I get paid more than I ever have. I can afford some of the things that I always thought that I would want. And now I know I don't really want them. So, you know, like nice vacations. Okay, I can do that now. Whereas before, when I was younger, I was much more free to do whatever I wanted, but I didn't have the money to do it. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, and so the last two questions are just fun, short questions. The first one is, what are some of the little things you do now to relax or take your mind off of things?
I read. The opposite of that is watching television, and that just drives me nuts, particularly the news. No matter what I watch on the news, it drives me insane because I know none of it is actually real. And some of it is more unreal than I can even believe. Relaxing? I actually found it reasonably relaxing this summer to beat the hell out of myself and build this little room in the back of my house. It took me from the time we got out of school until it's just finishing now. But doing drywall and doing woodworking and whatever, I was never, you know, I wasn't the tech ed shop guy, but I know enough to make myself dangerous, and it was really kind of enjoyable to create something, like you said, to create something, and know that I did it, whether it's right or wrong, I did it. So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. And so the final question is, if a genie were to magically grant you a wish, what would you ask for?
And 1,000 more wishes. Right?
Yeah.
That's the best thing, 1,000 more wishes.
Because
if you ask for one thing, you're done. If you ask for 1,000 more wishes, you can think up the things that you thought, you know, that you forgot about.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, if I had to pick one thing and only one thing, I really don't know what it would be. Yeah, I mean, probably good health, because other than that, if you don't have good health, your kind of life sucks. So, but I've had a lot of really, really great things in my life, so I'm really, really happy where I am. You know, being a teacher, being involved with you guys, at least being reasonably respected by most kids. I don't know why that's important to me, but it is. So, yay.
Yeah, and so those are the questions that I prepared, but if there's anything you'd like to say?
No, other than I appreciate you interviewing me, making me your first interview. Wow. Who else do you intend to interview?
Yeah, so our grandparents and different local seniors that we know, and then we also hope to expand to different languages, because some of our
awesome.
Can only speak like Korean or Mandarin.
Sure.
Things like that, yeah.
Yeah, if you can, like, you know, there's always generations that are dying off. And the information from a historical standpoint is gone then. You know, everybody's reading about whatever. Like, it's amazing to myself that you have no recollection of 9/11, right? You weren't even born when 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
So for you, that's a historical thing that, like, was horribly intimate to people, whether it's, you know, World War II, those people are really old now, or the Korean vets, or the people like myself who grew up in the 60s or the 50s or whatever. Just getting their stories down so that somebody can see it rather than read an abbreviated version of it from a history book.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you.
It's really an important, I think, you know, from a historical standpoint, a really important thing. So yeah, I'm glad that you picked me. I feel horribly honored.
Yeah. Well, thank you for taking the time for this interview.
Oh, yeah. You're really welcome.
Honored to have you as our first podcast interviewee, too.
Thank you. I hope I didn't bore you with my ramblings.
No, absolutely not. Yeah, I learned so much from you and the wisdom you shared. And well, even in class,
in you saying that, give me one thing that I taught you, because I don't know what, I literally do not know what, and I'm not being smartass. I don't know that I can, that anybody can teach anybody anything unless they want to learn it. Mm-hmm. So what did I teach you?
Well, in this interview too, you told us about how you think that we should never be afraid and never limit ourselves before we even begin. And how you talked about how teaching and coaching are really similar and what you learned from teaching us.
You are a really good listener.
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, that is the most, I think the most important thing about learning is to be a great listener, which is why I'm not a great, great learner. I don't listen. Now, that's awesome. So, all right, before you go, you have to promise that you're going to keep in touch.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're more than welcome. This is fun.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right, Anna, you be good. Bye-bye. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye-bye.